Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ballgame. Where the Spirit of the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Coming out does not require as much courage as is required by a person who says, you know, I feel same-sex attraction, but what I want to do is not act on it. What I want to do is live up to my church's teaching.
All I know is that I'm died for by Jesus. I'm baptized and I'm forgiven, and I am the possessor of God's promises and His kingdom and His Spirit and His life, and that is who I am. So I don't have to love myself. Jesus loves me.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love Issues, etc.
What are you supposed to do if someone wants to turn back the clock on the Reformation? In essence, kind of, well, acknowledge that it had occurred 500 years ago, but not acknowledge why it occurred, that not acknowledge what the real differences between Roman Catholics, and in this case, Lutherans, have been for 500 years. That's precisely what the Lutheran World Federation wants to do. They're not going to deny that the Reformation occurred, but they're not going to celebrate it. They'll just commemorate it in joint services with the Vatican and with Roman Catholics. That's exactly what they're preparing to do in 2017 for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We're going to be talking about it with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, getting his thoughts on that on this Thursday afternoon, January the 21st. A little bit later in this hour, we'll do Christ in the Old Testament, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Joining us to talk about the Lutheran World Federation and the Vatican preparing for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
Matt, first, is it a good sign that the Roman Catholics are wanting to observe the Reformation, celebrate this 500th anniversary?
Well, you know, I'm just kind of scratching my head on how I should answer this. I suppose on the one hand, you know, when we look at this kind of thing, we think there's, with a history of such animus and so many divisions and such animosity in the world, you got to say that people who share a number of significant religious convictions about who God is and who Jesus is, etc., can get together and avoid the animus of the past. So, yes, that's good. On the other hand, you know, basically, liberal Protestantism is imploding, and Rome thinks in terms of centuries, not decades or less. And really, Rome thinks in terms of a reuniting of the church as Protestantism continues to implode. So I guess I'm kind of ambivalent.
So you're saying, in essence, that your concern here is that this celebration of the Reformation is really a celebration of kind of the, not the 500th anniversary, but at least with respect to mainline liberal Protestantism, the end of the Reformation.
Well, in many respects it is. I mean, Rome will worship with anybody. They will not share the sacrament. They do not recognize the ministry of Protestants because it's not so-called properly ordered under papal authority, and because the ministry is not recognized, neither do they recognize even Lutherans have the body and blood of Christ, or that an absolution by a Lutheran minister is of equivalent value to that of a Roman Catholic. So, you know, and on the Lutheran side, basically, the former Lutheran churches of Germany, the the great state churches. They have all capitulated on the sexuality questions. They have openly gay bishops. So, like the ELCA, so when Rome puts out a public document that they're going to celebrate the Reformation together with these liberal Lutherans, it rings kind of hollow for us who actually have a high regard for the scriptures.
So will you be participating in any way or encouraging others to participate in joint Roman Catholic Lutheran services to celebrate the 500th anniversary?
No. We believe that for us to jointly worship, particularly to jointly lead a service, we need to have doctrinal agreement, and we certainly don't have that. We give thanks for the Catholic Church's social positions and also its steadfastness in confessing the divinity of Christ and those kind of things, but we have a lot of doctrinal differences yet with Rome that have not been overcome. In fact, I mean, Rome is still putting out indulgences, still offering indulgences. This is the big year of mercy that the Pope has declared, and people are going to be heading to Rome this year by the droves and being awarded indulgences. Papal doors in the great cathedrals will be open, and doors that the faithful will walk through and receive indulgences for doing so. That is a lessening of time for in purgatory to pay for temporal sins, allegedly. So, yes, it's a much different day than it was 500 years ago, but the issues are still very much with us.
Then let's talk about the Lutheran World Federation, which is really the Lutheran entity in these preparations with the Vatican for the mm-hmm. celebration of the anniversary of the Reformation. Mm-hmm. What is the Lutheran World Federation? How would you explain it to the average layperson?
After World War II, there was an impetus within Europe to come together, to bring the Lutheran churches, historically Lutheran churches, together in a new organization. The Lutheran World Convention had preceded it. It had had a fairly decent confessional foundation. But what had happened was that many of the churches, the Lutheran churches, formerly so, of Europe, had become union churches. And those churches were both invited into the Lutheran World Federation, and also the Lutheran World Federation began to also encouraged churches to be part of the EKID, the Evangelical Church in Germany, which was the pan body of Protestantism. That is, churches that were Lutheran Reform mixed, churches that were Reformed, churches that were historically Lutheran, all into one body. And so from its inception in 1947, the World Federation compromised on the big issue, one big issue of the Reformation. One issue was, especially, and there were others, what is in the sacrament, the true body and blood of Christ. So Luther's fight was over against two areas. One, against the Reformed on the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, mainly, and secondarily, over against the Catholics on salvation by grace through faith. That is a free gift. And so now the World Federation has compromised with Rome on the Joint Declaration on Justification, and the World Federation is today constantly advocating around the world for Lutheran churches to be in full communion with Reformed churches. But even more so, the World Federation has been paying for decades for women to study theology, paying for women to become pastors, which is contrary to the scriptures. And as of late, the World Federation is actively promulgating the acceptance of homosexuality and saying nothing when churches like the Church of Sweden actively promote homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and even consecrate lesbian and gay bishops. So it's all rather hollow.
the Lutheran World Federation, even with all that said, is viewed at least popularly and most certainly by the media as a representative of Lutheranism. If you had a minute with a reporter to explain how would you explain to them that they don't represent Lutheranism in a historic sense?
Well, the World Federation is largely based in Europe, but also strongly connected with the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and its money has largely come from these places. So it has controlled a lot by wielding money. What's happened lately, similar to the Anglican Communion, and not quite as dramatic, but almost so, almost as dramatic, is churches in the South are saying no to the World Federation, particularly on the issues of sexuality. So there are churches that are starting to buck the direction of the World Federation, like Makani Jesus, which is the largest, fastest-growing Lutheran church in the world, approaching 8 million soon. They broke fellowship with the ELCA and also with pro-gay Sweden and other partner churches, formerly partner churches, and have sought relationships with the Missouri Synod. This is happening in significant other places. And so the World Federation is not very happy with the Missouri Synod, and we hear that from time to time. We don't talk about the World Federation when we travel around the world. We don't have to. Usually we sit down with people in these various areas like Madagascar, and I remember I was on the Straits of Mozambique a year or two ago talking to a bishop of the diocese there, and mind you, Madagascar has 4.5 million Lutherans. We talk with him for a day, and he says, you know, you're just Lutherans. The World Federation people told us you were like Amish. And we get this kind of nonsense all the time. And we hold forth for biblical traditional Lutheranism, and people in the South deeply, deeply appreciate that. And they simply are not going to follow the bankrupt theology of the North.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about the Lutheran World Federation and Catholics preparing to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with joint worship services. When we come back, what still divides Lutheranism from Roman Catholicism? Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine with the bright across.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'm talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the Lutheran World Federation and the Roman Catholics preparing for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. You know, we're talking here really about the mainstream of liberal Lutheranism. A lot of the features of liberal Lutheranism I deal with in the latest issue of the Issues Etc. journal, where I've written an essay asking the question, is the law bad? And I've dealt with some myths about the law that have grown up from liberal Lutheranism, even find their way, sadly, into more confessional Lutheran church bodies. You can read it for yourself. You can subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal absolutely free. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button on the right-hand side. And when you do and enter your email address, you are subscribed absolutely free to the online Issues Etc. journal. You'll also find there our Wittenberg Trail feature, A Journey to Sound Doctrine by Tim Wood. IssuesETC.org, look for the red button and subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal. Pastor Harrison, you spoke earlier about how there are so many things that we continue to share with the Catholics doctrinally, things like the Trinity, the bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament, just to mention a few things. There's so much there. But what, even after 500 years, still separates Lutherans from Roman Catholics?
Well, I think the Roman Catholics would be most concerned about papal authority. Really, Rome is a very, very large, you know, almost a billion Christians. Rome is enormous, and it has many, many diverse views within it. If one accepts papal authority, those views can be, in some large measure, mitigated and overlooked. So I think that is probably for Rome the chief issue. Issues that continue to be very problematic, the Marian dogmas present a very difficult problem, because Rome has declared both in the 19th century and then follow up in the 20th century that Mary was not only immaculately conceived, that is, conceived without sin, but Mary was bodily assumed into heaven, the Assumption of Mary. Neither of these pious myths, which have no direct scriptural support, can be put on the necks of believers to believe, because they have no basis in the Bible. But Rome is strongly convinced that through the teaching magisterium and the councils of the church, that the church is led into a greater sense and given revelation over time so that it may establish dogmas. That is very much contradictory to the scripture alone principle of the Reformation. On the other hand, if you had to choose between the vacuous reality of much of modern Lutheranism, that its inability to confess the divinity of Christ or the virgin birth or those kind of things, you would probably choose Roman Catholicism over that. At least Rome has maintained doctrine.
Should confessional Lutherans, should we be seeking a future unity with the Roman Catholic Church, and in essence, not give up on it? And if so, how?
Well, you know, I've been involved with Roman Catholic Lutheran dialogues for quite a number of years, and in fact, the Missouri Synod is now, and through the International Lutheran Council, our international body, in a direct conversation. And, you know, you discover things by dialoguing. You learn things that you didn't know. Hermann Zasse And I take my cue from him, who was a fan of Christians of differing convictions talking and trying to resolve and work on the challenges. So Hermann Zassa said there's more true unity of the church where Christians of differing confessions are honest about their differences than when they sweep them under the rug. And so when we are involved in such discussions, we are honest about our differences. We acknowledge them. And I think Lutheranism was born of this Reformation. We were, of course, removed from the church. Luther was excommunicated. And we made our confession about what the gospel is. And I think we forever must be concerned about our Lord's concern that the church be unified, obviously from John 17 in his high priestly prayer. And so we can never not be concerned with the unity of the church. And we dialogue so we can better understand who we are, who others are, and hope for better days. But that's simply what the Lord gives. And we'll wait on the Lord. In some cases, really, we don't dialogue. We are not dialoguing with the ELCA today because we finally felt it was not productive to do so. There could be nothing agreed upon as far as doctrine goes. Ironically, with Rome, at least we have some fundamental agreements on solid doctrine, though we have many, many disagreements. So it's an interesting moment.
What will confessional Lutherans, if not kind of the cessation, a false peace between Rome and Lutherans on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, as seems to be the plan for the Lutheran World Federation, what will confessional Lutherans be celebrating in 2017?
The word confession comes from the Bible. And, you know, basically, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some say this, others that. But you, who do you say that I am?" Peter responds in behalf of them all, "But thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we confess Christ. The word homologeo means to say the same thing. It means to say back to God what he has said to us. God tells us that we are all sinners, all of us equally, and none of us deserve his mercy or grace. We as Lutherans have nothing to be haughty about over against others. A lot of people will say, "Well, you're claiming to have the truth," and yes, we are. And I respect a lot more a Roman Catholic that comes up to me and says, "You're wrong. There is papal authority and the Marian dogmas are correct," than some mealy-mouthed Lutheran that says, "Hey, tomato, tomato, it doesn't matter. Let's all get together." We confess our sins. They came to the River Jordan confessing their sins, homologeo. Secondarily, we confess the content of the faith. If you confess, homologeses, it says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, which means Jesus is Yahweh in this context, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We confess the strong content of the faith. And if you want to have a great exercise, look up the word confess in your English Bibles and homologeo in your Greek Bibles. It's amazing. Thirdly, and extraordinarily, this word confess also means to praise. So Jesus says, "I praise you," ex homologeistai. It's usually translated, "I praise you," not confess you, but it really says, "I confess you, Father, that you have hidden this from the wise and revealed it to babes," Matthew 11. And then this word ex homologeisai is picked up again in Romans 15 and elsewhere, where the gospel comes and God is glorified for his mercy. And the texts say from Psalm 17, "And I will praise you ex homologeisai among the Gentiles because of your name." So those three things: we're sinners, we confess Christ and his gospel, and we praise him with joy and thanksgiving. That's what the Reformation is about. It's about Luther and those Christians realizing the truth of St. Paul and the whole Bible, that salvation is a gift, pure and simple. If it's not totally by grace, then it's not by grace at all. That's what we'll be celebrating. And we have a responsibility as confessional Lutherans. This is our ecumenical responsibility. Sometimes Lutherans don't like that word, ecumenical, conservative Lutherans, that is. But we have an ecumenical responsibility, that is to bear witness to the truth of the Scriptures and grace alone, Christ alone, and that this is delivered by word, by preaching, by Bible, by sacrament, which really deliver the goods. That's what we do.
Matt, before we let you go, I do want your thoughts on the 43rd anniversary of Roe v. Wade. The March for Life in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere is going to be held tomorrow in Washington, D.C. What are your thoughts there?
I wish I was marching this year, but the schedule doesn't allow. We'll be back next year, hopefully. Look, 43 years ago, the media announced total victory and said, I think the New York Times came out the next day and said, it's over. The debate is over. And the progressives believed that every hospital, every doctor would be forced to do abortions. Those who opposed on conscience grounds for different reasons, especially Christians, said no, and they fought back, and they won. Over time, they won exceptions for their consciences, and some very significant ones. Nobody would have ever thought 43 years ago that today a majority of people under 30 believe abortion is wrong. By parallel, on Obergefell, on same-sex marriage, we will have something similar happen. And we are not going to capitulate. This is why Christian institutions should not capitulate. We will be kind to everybody. We will recognize that we are all sinners. Nobody deserves the grace of God. The church is a place for hurting people, but we will hold to the truth. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we must not capitulate in our institutions, come what may. And so that's what I think about today on Roe v. Wade. Hopefully the scourge will be, it's been chopped back indeed, but now we're at 57 or more million abortions.
Matt, you mentioned you won't be marching because of your schedule, but can we expect a large contingent of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members at tomorrow's March for Life?
Absolutely. They'll be out there. We've got the banners for the LCMS. They're teardrop banners that stand about 12, 15 feet in the air. As you're facing the stage on the mall, usually we gather to the right about 50 yards away from the stage on a 45-degree angle, and usually have those wonderful light lime green LCMS life caps on. And here's a joy. I was marching last year, and the Archbishop of St. Louis, who I know, came alongside, and Archbishop Carlson, and we marched together up to the Supreme Court. Now, that's what we should be doing together.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, it is always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, and thank you.
Hey, take care.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, our weekly series, Christ in the Old Testament, today, Psalm 19. Stay tuned.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.